Let's take our Bibles and look together in Matthew chapter 13, and my text is from verse 44 down to verse 46.
Atende tikagureni mabuku atu buku la Mateo chapter 13 njime yake ya 36 ulegeza ulegeza 46.
And I'd like to speak with you about the parable of the hidden treasure. In Matthew 13:44, we read, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field.
Verse 45,
again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. In verse 46, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, the popular interpretation that many give to this parable is that it's the sinner who is the merchant man, and the pearl of great price is Christ. You have probably heard it preached that way, and possibly even preached the parable yourself that way. Preachers will say that it's the sinner that sells all that he has that he might buy Christ. But as the Lord has taught me, I have to say that that is a wrong interpretation. To begin with, who is looking for the goodly pearl? Who is the one looking for the treasure? You see, in the first parable, in verse 44, it speaks of a treasure. In the second parable, it speaks of a pearl of great price. But verse 45 says that the merchant man comes seeking goodly pearls. It's in the plural. But when he finds, it's one pearl. The question that we have to ask is, are sinners looking for Christ? Are they even looking for salvation?
Ama angana kirisi tu, wadea mgache kumfuna funa Yesu.
Our Bible tells us otherwise. Sinners are not looking for salvation. They are not seeking Christ. It is not in their nature to do so. But secondly, I'd have to say that the merchant man cannot be the sinner because the sinner has nothing with which to pay. Not only does the sinner not have anything with which to pay, but Christ cannot be bought. That's important. Christ cannot be bought. But there are many that think that somehow it's up to them to find Christ. It's up to them to give up many things in their lives in order to procure Christ. And there's preachers that preach the parable that way. But what is clear from the scripture concerning any sinner is that we are all born in this world dead in our trespasses and sins, without any thought of life or God or Christ. And so, in this parable, or these parables, who's the active one? Who is the one who is actively seeking? Who's the one that looks for the pearl? The pearl is inactive. The pearl can't do anything. The treasure is inactive. It can't do anything of itself. It takes one coming, like the merchant man, and acting on it, that it might be bought. So the scriptures are very clear, first of all, that Christ and salvation are not for sale. Salvation is the gift of God. So we see here in this parable, these two parables, that they concern the kingdom of heaven. When it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's talking about that kingdom which is from heaven. In other words, that which Christ came to establish on this earth, and that it is for heaven. That is, those that he came to redeem, it is for their eternal salvation. So here we see the Lord Jesus Christ describing through these parables the purpose for his coming to this earth. And as we've been seeing, a parable takes something that men can identify with, such as here a field or a treasure or pearls, and draws a spiritual lesson from what is taught.
So says the
All through this chapter, we've been seeing how the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth as the one who has come into this world to save sinners that the Father gave him. In verse 3 of this chapter, we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ is the sower of the seed. He's the one that came to sow the seed of his life in this earth, that he might bring forth fruit unto salvation. The same thing is repeated in verse 24 of Matthew 13 concerning the kingdom of heaven being likened, notice, unto a man, one man, which sowed a good seed in what? His field. That's Christ. The same thing we saw in Matthew 13 and verse 31 concerning the parable of the mustard seed. It says the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, but notice, which a man took and sowed in his field. A man, that's Christ. And so here in verse 44 and verse 45, 44, Christ is the man. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like, 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. That man is Christ. And then verse 45 again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, but that merchant man is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the main character, as in the other parables, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So just as I said earlier, a treasure hidden in a field, or pearls hidden in a field, they are inanimate. They cannot have life in themselves. It takes one seeking to find them and then making something of them for the honor and glory of the merchant.
The
It is Christ who seeks the sinner, not the sinner who seeks Christ. Were it the sinner who was to seek Christ, then there would be no salvation because, as I said, the sinner is dead in his trespasses and sins. The glory of salvation belongs unto God alone and to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Redeemer, not the sinner. We find this to be true all the way back from the beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. When Adam and Eve fell, they were not the ones who were seeking the Lord. Just the opposite. They tried to hide themselves. They put on fig leaves to cover themselves. They were not seeking the Lord. But it was the Lord who came and sought them. They had covered themselves with fig leaves, as it says in verse 7 of Genesis 3. When they had partaken of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says their eyes of them both were opened, but it says they knew that they were naked, and what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. It's like people today, when their conscience is stirred and they get a sense of their sinfulness before God, but left to themselves, they'll never seek Christ. They'll try to work out their own salvation. There are many today, in fact, most, that will take fig leaves of religion and sew them together. You see, all that's man's works. And making themselves aprons, trying to cover their sin before God, but it will not save. Now notice verse 8 of Genesis 3. It wasn't them seeking the Lord, but here it says, when they heard what? The voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. That's all they could do was hide themselves. Even hearing the voice of the Lord coming and walking in the garden, it did not draw them to him. Rather, they ran and hid from him. They actually ran and hid themselves among the trees of the garden where God had said they could eat initially. And a lot of people think, well, if I can just go back to the beginning and make things right, that somehow everything will be okay. It isn't. And that's where we read in verse 21 of Genesis 3 that the Lord is the one who did the repairing. It's verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them.
Yehova Mulungu ndipo anapangira Adamu ndi mkazi wake Maraya asikopa nawapeka iwo.
Two things we see here concerning the Lord acting upon Adam and Eve as the Redeemer.
Abantu pakuonetsera kuti Mulungu adatsoretsera yekha kwa Adamu ndi Hava kuti yende mumboni.
First of all, in order for him to clothe them with the coats of skins, he would have had to have killed some innocent animals, shed their blood. You see, that's what we see in our parable of the rich merchant buying the field and purchasing. When he purchased the field, he purchased the treasure. He purchased the pearl. It takes the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to purchase those sinners that God has purposed to save. But secondly, it says there that he clothed them with those animal skins. So that's the two-part work of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, to die, to pay the price for the sins of those he came to save, but then to give them that righteousness that he came and earned and worked out on their behalf. So that's the very first word of salvation we find in Scripture all the way back in the book of Genesis, which means beginnings. But it's also the very last word we find in Scripture in the last book of our Bible, the book of Revelation.
komanso jona so bukulo manisila la bukulo paruri kalimene di bible bukula chimbumburu so kulangwa so zomweso.
Again, it's not the sinner who sought the Savior, it's the Savior who came to seek and to save the sinner. The whole of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation teaches us of this merchant redeemer. It's the history of redemption. Look how it's put in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Here we read, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast what? Slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So just like in our parables that we're looking at here, the treasure and the pearl could do nothing for themselves but lie in that field until one came along and purchased them and took them to himself. What was the purchase price in order for Christ to redeem his people? It was his shed blood. That's what God the Father required, shed blood. Now in our parable in Matthew 13:44, it doesn't say that the man came and purchased the entire world. No, he purchased that field where the treasure was. Just like in the pearl, the merchant man seeking goodly pearls. It doesn't say that he bought the entire world, but he purchased the field wherein that pearl lies. Just like in Revelation 5:9, it does not say that he redeemed everybody in the world, but rather that he redeemed unto God out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, sinners unto God.
Chapter 5, 9.
So here we see the merchant man coming and looking for the treasure and seeking out fine pearls, is the way it's put in the plural in verse 45. These were considered to be treasures above all other possible possessions that one could have. Some would ask, well, what would Christ see in sinners he came to save? They're nothing but sinners. And yet, because those sinners he came to save are those that the Father gave him from all eternity, therefore they were of high value to him for his Father's sake. Now, the disciples' ears must have really perked up when the Lord mentioned a pearl. The ears of the disciples must have really perked up. They must have begun to really listen when the Lord mentioned a pearl or pearls. Some of them were fishermen. And pearls are found in oysters, those shells that are by the seaside that are made over time. That's where a pearl is typically found. Typically, if a man wanted to give his wife something of great price, he would go out and purchase some pearls that she would take and wear around her neck in a necklace. These are of high value. So this is why it is a surprise for us reading these parables to see how it is that the Lord Jesus Christ looks upon those sinners that the Father gave him to save and for whom he came and shed his blood. They are as pearls of great price. But where did he find the treasure? Where did he find the pearls? They were hidden.
kodi ada chipeza kodi chumanjo ni shikachi kodi mawage ada liwoti mwende ada pesa ngare chumene zizi kutazibise.
They were not out there on the surface for anybody to see and behold. They were buried. They were not out on the surface of the field. They were buried. This is a picture of the lost estate of sinners. They're lost. They must be found. That's what we read of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, who he came to save. He did not come and find sinners willing and ready to receive him. No, they were buried. They were lost. In Luke 19, we have the story of Zacchaeus who climbed that tree to see Jesus, but he couldn't get to Christ, but it was Christ who came to him. He was like that lost treasure or that lost pearl. It was the Lord who came to him. That's why verse 9 of Luke 19 says, Jesus said unto him, there were many others around there, but unto this one, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. To be a son of Abraham here means to be one of those of Abraham's seed that God purposed should be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not talking about being a physical descendant of Abraham, but a spiritual one that God purposed to save by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how the Lord summed it up in verse 10. For the Son of Man, see, he's the merchant man. The Son of Man is come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. That's the language we find in our parable here in Matthew chapter 13, in verses 44 to 46. It's the man who came and found the treasure. He came seeking goodly pearls and found that pearl of great price. Now, in the parable, it's clear that in order for this man to take the treasure and in order for him to take the pearl of great price, he had to purchase the field. He had to buy it. Notice there in Luke 19:10, it's not that he came to seek and try to save that which was lost, but it's a very definitive and save. That means to purchase, to redeem, justify those he came to save. Some may ask in the parable in Matthew 13:45, why it refers to goodly pearls that he came seeking. But then in verse 46, it speaks of one great pearl. I believe in verse 45, pearls is put in the plural because it refers to every one of God's elect that he chose from all eternity for whom Christ came to die. But in verse 46, they're described as one pearl of great price because that's who they are together in Christ as one body of redeemed sinners. This is how the Apostle Paul describes the body of Christ as being one, just like one great pearl of great price. Galatians 3:28. There in Galatians 3:28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all what? One in Christ Jesus. That's who that one pearl represents. But both in the case of the treasure in verse 44 and also the pearl in verse 46, it was of such value that it required the man selling everything to purchase it for himself. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He came to this earth and gave up everything he was in glory to become a man and to suffer unto death to purchase, to redeem that pearl of great price to him and to his Father. Had the treasure or had the pearl remained in the earth, unfound and unpurchased by the merchant, then it would have no value at all. It's only as the merchant found it and bought it that we find the value in the treasure and in the pearl. And I'll close with 1 Peter chapter 1, verses
18 and 19.
We're not talking about being purchased with corruptible things like silver and gold, as it says there in verse 18, 1 Peter 1. As much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. It says there in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That word precious there in verse 19 means to be very costly, or you can't put a value to it. It's so costly. That's the word that the Holy Spirit chose to describe both the worth of Christ's blood and also the worth of those gems, those pearls, the treasure that he bought. How could we ever put a price or a value on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? But we know that he paid in full for the debts of the sins of those that the Father had given him, and therefore they are precious to him. Once again, a very profound parable that we read here, but may the Lord cause us to thank him that if we're one of these that he came to redeem, then we are everything to him.
Many thanks to God. What a beautiful gospel message of comfort that the Lord has spoken to his own people. For sure, we have been served with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our salvation, our reconciliator, our everything, our redemption and the redemptor. In all these things, we are always to bow and exalt our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven.